going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It is Thursday afternoon. For some of you who may be listening in audio, could be Friday morning, but it also means that it is the latest episode of The Death Lineup. I'm here with Bry. You did your hair today. No hat. What's going on?
I just messed with it before we started, but I got a haircut. Haircut last week, so right. It's still bedhead. I was just gonna let it fly, but then I was just like, I put the headset like pushing the hair back because it just doesn't. I didn't do anything to it. It's just bedhead at 4:08 p.m. But that's because I was working from home today.
Oh, all right. So what are we gonna do today? Well, we're gonna talk about the Warriors. Obviously, they are smack dab in the middle of the first round of the playoffs against the Houston Rockets. We'll look a little bit at the rest of the playoff scene. And we'll also talk about the Valkyries, who opened up camp, their inaugural camp. And they are like a little bit over 2 weeks away from playing actual basketball, which is kind of incredible if you think about it. And then, yeah, I guess you're going to see the new Marvel movie tonight, huh?
Yeah, Thunderbolts.
Are you excited for it, or there's a little bit of a kind of like a Marvel malaise here? We're not sure what to think about Marvel these days.
I'm excited for it. I think anytime a Marvel project comes out, like, I'm decently excited for it just because I was a Marvel fan as a kid growing up, even without the movies. Like, I had a game on my phone that I would play. Like, I would read some of the comics. So I've always been like a Marvel fan. It just depends, like, the level of excitement has changed throughout the years because of the movies not, you know, like, underwhelming. But I'd say my excitement level is either average or a little above average for this particular film.
Interesting. All right, Will, let's start with the Warriors. I was looking at all of the playoff scenarios that they've had since they won their first championship, or their first of their current championships in 2015, because I was trying to figure out what are the scenarios that mirror this one, which is they don't have home court advantage, but they have the lead in the series with the opportunity to close the series at home. And what have they done when they have had those scenarios in the past? And actually, throughout their championship run, from the mid-2000s, they never faced this scenario because they were always the home team in just about every series. Now, their last championship, they did face this scenario because they were not the top seed all the way through. But what is your feeling coming out of last night's no-show? Like, it was a literal no-show from the team. I don't know if they were tired. It may be the most disinterested I've seen Steph Curry in the playoffs ever in his life. He may be tired, and I just don't know. His thumb might be hurting. I've never seen him. The word that comes to mind is fronting, meaning he's kind of pretending out there. Like, he's not really dialed in all the way through it. So, and I know that's not true. I know he's not that kind of athlete. He's so dialed in and competitive. But when I watched that game, I was like, why are they pretending that they actually want to win this game when really it just seems like they want to get home? Like, it was a really frustrating game to watch, unfortunate game to watch. I don't know why they do that instead of just trying to get out in five, because as we saw with Minnesota, that's exactly what they did in the same scenario. And now they're going to get all kinds of rest. So that whole thing doesn't make sense to me. It's like, they're the team with all the wisdom. And so what does the wisdom say? Does the wisdom say tank this game and save your bodies? What were your takes from last night?
I think it's a couple of things. And I think that it was to be expected that, and I think it's almost been overused, the reference of Memphis game six and Mavericks game five and or game four and 2022. And then the Kings won the following year in six. Like they had the opportunity for closeout games, and then they were just like kind of no shows.
Yeah. And those are the two series that I'm going to kind of go through in a second, but yeah, that's what it felt like, right?
Yeah. And I think also, like, with this team, even with the addition of Jimmy Butler, there's been so many moments where it's like, oh, you guys could make this easier for yourself if you beat the San Antonio Spurs, if you beat the, what was it, the Clippers, or it was during that, you know, when they'd have these moments where it's like, okay, they beat Memphis, who was a 2 seed or 3 seed at the time that they beat them in that big game, and then they had the Lakers, and then it was like, oh, they couldn't get it done against, like, the Rockets, understandable, but the Spurs, like, if you guys won that, you would have made it easier for yourself. And then we learned that sometimes they just like to make it harder on themselves. And I think that this was a moment where, just like we saw with the, I've brought it up multiple times, and I prefaced this series with the fact that this could be like, you know, 2022 or three, I think it was 2023 playoffs, the Sacramento Kings, where we go to seven and the Lakers are able to finish Memphis in six.
Mm-hmm.
That game one against the Lakers was the game that they were somehow, as a 6 seed, got home court in game one, which is crazy, which is happen again, where the Timberwolves are going to get a home court potentially against the Warriors, knock on wood. But the Warriors got home court advantage in a round two series as a 6 seed. Probably has happened. You can count it on one hand, I imagine, that many times that's happened. And you could tell that the Lakers had more rest in game one, and that was a game that they could have gotten. They barely lost. I remember it was like an AD jump ball, a Jordan Poole deep three that he missed. But just the Kings being able to push them to seven, it kind of just seems like a similar scenario where they could have gotten this done in five. The Minnesota got it done in five, and now they have to do it in six, and then it's short rest. It's back. They would play Minnesota on Sunday. Mm-hmm. If they were to win tomorrow. So not ideal, but I think it's to be expected, because there's the two things of, you know, it was the Memphis comparison in 2022, the Mavericks comparison in 2022, the Kings comparison in 2023. They just take that one game off and they make it. And then just also this year, they've just been making it hard on themselves in moments where they can make it easier on themselves. So I think it was to be expected.
Okay, but where is... Like, we all felt this going into game five. I said in multiple places, I would love for them to close out now so they could save their bodies. But everything tells me they're going to dog this one, and it's not even, and they're going to get wiped out and they're going to come back. Why do we feel that way? And why don't they actively, like, try and fight against that? Whatever that is, the momentum or whatever it is, why didn't they try and fight through that yesterday?
I don't know. I just think with the older they get, the more like kind of strategic they try to play it. Whereas also like the, you know, maybe it doesn't feel too strategic just to trick away a game, but I don't know. I think there is like these mental edges to be gained in these series that they've kind of learned throughout the years. And like, I don't think them losing this game did anything for Houston's, I don't think they feel threatened still. And I think even the reserves pushing back and bringing back in the Houston starters is like bad for Houston's. Like, to me, that was a mental win for the Warriors, even though they lost this game. That was like another tally for them that, you know, Houston had to bring back in the starters, and then there was a little scuffle, and, you know, just the fact that they were able to bring a 28 game back to like 14 or whatever it was. And I also like that they didn't put back in the starters, even though, because I just think that when they got taken out at the start of the third, or like somewhat early in the third, I think they just mentally were like, yeah, I mean, it's a 28 point game, like this game's over. and they just mentally took themselves out. You know, you let your body rest for that long to then get back into game shape, to get your mind back into like, okay, it's time to try to get back into the competitive mindset. I almost like that they didn't put him in, because it's more likely that they would not have been able to win that game down 14 had the starters come back in. And I think if they put the starters back in and lose, then maybe Houston gets the mental tally back. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I see, like, yeah, get it done in five. But I just think that, you know, if it was a dogfight game, and I think Houston should have been the favorite team in this series, you know, like, absolutely nothing to lose and at home. Like, I would have bet on them to win. I'm not going to bet against the Warriors in a playoff series, but I would have bet on Houston to win that game. And, you know, I think if it was a dogfight and they went to OT, say, like, then I don't like our chances for game six. So maybe it's just all strategic, mental stuff that, you know, this veteran savvy team, you know, puts more stock into.
Because I watched the end of Timberwolves Lakers. Lakers did put up a fight there at the end. I thought that I thought once Minnesota kind of jumped out, the Lakers were just going to die. But they fought back, and then Minnesota just had enough to beat them. What did you? We're talking about the Warriors. Just one thing about the Lakers and Luka. What did you think about LeBron's comment about AD and the center thing? And then I don't know who made it. It may have been JJ Redick, who is absolutely showing his ass when it comes to the amount of heat that is going to come on him for being the Lakers coach. He's just like such a disrespectful dick to the media for no reason whatsoever.
Uh-huh. Well, you don't like him. Right?
I don't. I didn't like him as a player. I thought he was the same thing as a player. He's a smart guy. Of course he's a smart guy. As a podcaster, he was a dick. As a commentator with Doris and whatchamacallit, he was a dick. Like, I think that's just who he is.
Yeah.
And so it fits him being on the Lakers, because I don't like the Lakers either. But somebody said, you know, next year we all need to be in shape. I think it may have been him. I didn't see who said it, but it almost looks like the way that they're going to get around the media of this season is that they're just going to blame Luka for not being in shape, which means next year he's going to come into camp in shape. And if you're LeBron's tag team partner, you can't disappoint LeBron, right? You got to come ready to fight next year. So I would imagine Luka's going to get in probably the best shape that he's ever been in.
I agree, but I also think that there's a difference now between LeBron's partner and like Luka's just like way better than him, whereas LeBron's tag team partners in the past have been like his Robins, but Luka's Batman. But I agree with you. I think he's going to get in shape.
So Luka is Batman, but who is getting the finger pointed as why they lost?
I feel like I've seen some front office finger pointing. I think the majority of the NBA world agrees that Rob Pelinka probably should get executive of the year because of what he pulled off with the Luka thing.
Swindle.
But I made the comment right when the trade was made. I think you probably remember this. I was like, well, I mean, this team was built for LeBron and AD. Now you get Luka. So is Bron on the block? Because they're clearly not going to win this year.
Yeah.
And it just, you look at how the team was constructed, and it was just so not a Luka team. No 3-and-D wings, no big center. You just had Jackson Hayes, and then they, you know, undid the Mark Williams trade. And that was my initial take. And I'm pissed off that I feel like Bill Simmons gaslighted me into thinking that way. But he was like, they're a contender. And I was like, you know what? When two players are as good and as smart as Luka and LeBron, yeah, I guess they're probably contenders. No, they were not. They did not have a complimentary roster whatsoever. So I feel like that's what the finger pointing is going to.
Why people started to think that they might be a contender is because they all of a sudden started playing defense. Like, their defensive metrics just went up and to the right. But what it turned out to be is it was just a mirage.
I think this Lakers team got too much credit. I think them against Houston would have been a series.
I do too.
I think Houston, you know, all the commentary on Houston has been, I can't believe the Warriors got such an easy matchup. And while I agree that they're not the best matchup, like just not the best team, I think the Warriors matched up against them really well. But I think that the Lakers' lack of defense, Houston's offense looks like crap. But that's also because the Warriors' defense is awesome. The Lakers' defense is not so awesome. I wonder what that Houston offense would have looked like against the Laker defense. Probably better. And then Houston has the defense to try and stop the Lakers. So I don't know. I think that actually, I'm not saying that it would be reverse where Houston would be up 3-1 or 3-2. I think it would go to like 7, but I think that this Lakers team was just not put together to be Luka's team, which it needs to be going forward.
So this is what I got today from my Lakers friends, which I'm showing in the video.
I had a Lakers friend who did that too, where he was like, I miss AD. Like, dude, like we.
I love it. Like, I think most they're mostly joking.
Yeah.
But it's the Wolverine meme with him looking at the picture, and in the picture it is AD in a Lakers jersey. That's what he's like. He's very solemn about it.
I think everyone knew this was the year to take him out. They're going to be just fine for the next decade. Thanks to stupid Nico.
Yeah. But okay. If you believe in Luka and his ability to be the person
he is,
then you also believe that he is going to figure out that he needs to get in better shape and he needs to be someone that you can depend on for the whole season, right? Like that's what you are betting. You're like betting like, okay, he's going to mature. He's going to figure it out. He's going to, you know, come back bigger and stronger than ever because he's going to take this personally. And yeah, that's what you believe. And I believe that too. But for LA, the more important thing, and I think more of the reason why this Luka thing is going to work, is because the market needs stars and he's going to be a star. They do have to build the proper basketball team around him, though.
100%. And they need that 7-footer who's a defensive menace and can catch lobs, and they're going to get it. And with a full offseason with those two stars in LA, like I imagine they're going to get someone this offseason, or people plural. And so this was the year to take them out. And I don't know, like Luka doesn't need to be a plus on defense. He just can't be as much of a minus as he is, which I don't think will be the hardest thing to do. I mean, Jamal Murray won. There's always players you pick on that are on a title winning team. Like Jamal Murray got high minutes and I would say he's probably like not a great defender. And then if the Warriors saw the Nuggets, like that would be who we picked on. We'd pick on Joker a little bit as well on the perimeter, but just mainly on a one-on-one ISO, we'd pick on Jamal. We'd pick on Luka, and you know, Jamal won a championship. So I know that's not apples to apples, but there are bad defensive players who have been on championship rosters. I think the Celtics team probably had no minuses on defense. So they're maybe not the best example to look at of late, but most other teams have them.
Yeah, for sure. But I just think if you want to take advantage of the superpower brain of LeBron and Luka on the same team, I think not to say that LeBron's the most beloved Laker ever. Like, it's very clear that he's not. It's very clear that they see him as like, oh yeah, he's just kind of renting space on the Lakers to end his career. But he also won a championship with that franchise. So even though you're right in the perspective of who's going to be the future, Luka is going to be the Batman. But I think to Lakers fans today, they still see LeBron as 1A and Luka as 1B. And Luka kind of has to take that, sort of like the LeBron and D Wade thing from the first year that they were together. And it was like, wow, D Wade's actually the alpha on this team. And then LeBron just became the better player and he took it. I sort of see it similarly with Luka and LeBron.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's not a team I want to see in the coming years.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
All right, so let's get back to the Warriors. So you mentioned it, and I just want to remind folks about this. So we go back to the 2022 championship season. In the first round of the playoffs, the Warriors take 4 out of 5 from the Denver Nuggets and get rid of them in the first round. And then they play.
And game four, they tricked, right?
They were up 3-0. They even won the first game in Denver after they won the first two games at home. And then game four, they lost in Denver to come back home and then beat the Nuggets by 4. So the next series was the Memphis Grizzlies. And remind me, were the Warriors the 3 seed and the Grizzlies were the 2 seed? Is that how that
Correct.
Worked?
Correct. They stole game one in Memphis.
So they win a close one in Memphis, 1-point mm-hmm. win. Then they lose game 2 by 5. Then they come home and they kill these guys by 30 points.
Yeah.
Then
Ja goes down in like the third or fourth quarter in that game.
So then the very next game, they win a close one to go up 3-1. And so they're in the same scenario that they're in today. You're up 3-1. You can close on the road. And then they lost
and it's
by
the exact
over 40 points.
One game one, lost game two, won game 3 and 4.
Yeah.
And then they lose game 5.
By almost 40 points. Like, I think that is the clear thing.
I think I saw the difference. Like, I saw the Warriors Muse guy say that the first quarter was actually competitive in that game, whereas it wasn't in Houston. It's just like the one asterisk against.
Yeah, I can look at the block. I can look at the box score. I don't know. 38-28 first quarter for the Grizzlies. The Warriors, the only quarter in that game the Warriors won was the fourth quarter. They won it 28-15.
And the same thing with this game 5. I'm sure we won the fourth pretty badly too.
Okay, so then they do win out. They win by 14 in game 6.
Thank you, Mike Brown.
And then they kind of, like you said, they do almost the same thing in Dallas, where they win the first 3 games, they lose game 4 at Dallas, and then they come back home to win.
Subs come in, they make it close. Then Steve puts the starters in, and they lose game 4.
All right, so then the very next season, they open up at Sacramento. They lose the very first 2 games in Sacramento.
Yeah. And Draymond suspended for game 3.
And they come home They win game three.
And then Draymond comes off the bench in game four because Looney was so good in game three.
And then they win that game by one single solitary point. Game five, they go back to SAC. They win. So now they're in the same predicament. Coming home, up 3-2, they lay an egg at home. And then they got to go to Sacramento to beat Sacramento in game seven, which they do. But like you said, they get one day off. And then they come back home to play the Lakers and they lay an egg at home.
And it was even like, it wasn't, they needed the extra day of rest, but they were lucky that they played SAC where it's a bus ride instead of a plane. And it was like, you know, the travel day is actually like, oh, 2 hours in the night. You could sleep in your own bed.
Right.
Like, you know, like it could have been even worse for them, but it and they still, you know, lost game one, a close one, just two veteran teams trying to just outwit each other and a, they needed that. They needed to get that done in six at home, and they didn't. But it's not apples to apples in this scenario because they won game five against SAC in SAC. Whereas this year, they lost game five in Houston.
All right, so make the prediction. What's going to happen on Friday at home, 6 p.m. start in the Bay Area at Chase, which I'll give Chase some credit. They have sensed the time, or they have sensed the need for them to get loud, and they have been pretty loud in these games. The Warriors are 2-0 so far, and then they also won their play-in game. So I think everything is sort of set on the table for them to win this game. I do wonder, and we talked about this last time, the refereeing has been really weird in this game because they're letting a lot of stuff go, including closing out hard on shooters. But then they're getting these weird scenarios where these technical fouls and these flagrant fouls.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so weird that those are the things that they call and then they let a lot of the real like clashing of bodies just go. They just let that stuff go.
Game four was really weird. Just how the refereeing played out with all those techs and flagrants, and that's what made it feel all that much better on that win. But yeah, I mean, a lot of stuff. It feels like at least once a game early in the game, Steph gets whammed on like a 3-point shot, but it has yet to be called. And if the one that gets called is for Jimmy with Dylan's left hand just like kind just of grazing like, him.
Patting him in the belly.
Yeah. But Steph hasn't gotten one yet. I wish they would say something a little more, but I don't know.
I bet you if Steph stuck his leg out, he would immediately get called.
Yeah. Also,
so do you think they just close? Do you think they close it though?
Yeah, I have a few things. I think Dylan smacking at the thumb and how Warriors fans are pointing that out, and then, you know, everyone's calling them delusional. I don't know. I think I would do the same. I think Dylan even said it. He was like, if I had a hurt ankle, I expect them to go at that thing, or like I would go at that thing. So yeah. I don't think it's dirty. I mean, I guess it kind of sounds dirty that he's swiping at an injured thumb, but that's what you're supposed to do. You would like classic WWE. They'll hurt someone in the beginning, quote unquote, you know, and then they start like attacking that body part. And just like a lot of other sports too. So I think that I think he is doing it, but
Kerr even said it, right? Steve Kerr said what the rule is you can actually high five the shooter.
Yeah.
And he believes that it'll probably get changed at some point. Cause if it does, then you're going to see a lot of 3-point plays in the NBA. Cause this is like the shooter. If it is even slightly contested, it seems like the shooter's hand is going to get hit every single time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when you're a smaller guard. So Steph is like, I think they say Steph is 6'3". He's probably like closer to 6'1.5". And Dylan Brooks is like legitimately probably like 6'6". So he's got quite an advantage to just reach out his arm to get to where Steph's hand is. So that is, you know, that's what helps him in that closeout. And if he can't do that, you know, if they change that rule and he can't do that, you're going to see a lot of like, I don't know what these guys are going to do on closeouts. A lot of wide open threes, I think, is going to happen.
And so Yeah, second point. I mean, I guess I'm like trying to say, like, I think he is doing it, but I think it's, you know, I think that's what you do. And then for both sides. And then point two is I think I need these players to tell their like venture capitalist partners on the court side to like wear the shirts.
You don't want to see the Patagonia.
Yeah, I was going to say, put it on the big screen. We don't want to see the Patagonia. Because like Jimmy after game four, like went and dapped up like a bunch of old people on the baseline. And I was like, this is probably like his venture capitalist, like, you know, people who invest in his coffee brand.
Yeah, big face coffee guys.
No one wearing the shirts on base. The people he was dapping up.
You know why? You know why? Also why? Those shirts are not one size fits all. So some of those guys are probably like, do I really want to look fat on
TV? Aren't they all like double X's?
No, they're all extra large. But they don't fit like terrifically, right? They're, so I think some of those guys are like, oh man, I'm sitting in the front row, people can see me in HD and 4K. They don't want to see me looking chubby.
Put the damn shirt on, man.
Or
when you have the shirt on, you blend in with everyone.
Well, put the shirt on and then maybe you can put the thing over it. So
yeah, you could do that. Or but if you don't put on the shirt, then I'm seeing the chub more plainly than, you know, you're trying to hide it by not putting on the shirt, but I see you because you're not wearing the shirt.
By the way, I wanted to mention one thing about Dylan Brooks.
I wish he was a Warrior.
Yes. I feel like we're going to get him, but it's going to be at the end of his like athleticism. Yeah, no,
but we're going to get him in a season where like it's like there's no shot we win, and they just got him so us fans could be mad at him. So we have something to be like to blame, and it's Dylan Brooks on a bad Warriors team.
But like, I see a lot of hate for him. And the reality of it is in a series, he's an easy person to dislike because he's so fiery and he gets mad and he wants to fight. Similarly to how the Rockets fans see Draymond, except the Rockets have never beat Draymond or Steph. Yeah. So that's a real villain. Dylan Brooks, with the exception of, I think, the one play-in game where Memphis beat the Warriors, he's never beat the Warriors in a big game. So this is why I don't think he's that big of a villain, because you're not really scared of him. Like, you respect him. He's the only guy, actually, I would say Van Vliet in the last game. But he's really the only guy where I'm like, you better put a hand up on this guy because he's going to make this. Jabari doesn't shoot enough, though. He's not even in the game enough. Like, that's the guy I was like, hey, I wonder if the Rockets like Kuminga, because like, let's try and get Jabari. Jabari would be
perfect. I hope they do. There's like six Rockets where I'm like, I wish you were a Warrior. Like, imagine Amen Thompson in like the Draymond offense role, setting Steph screens, rolling to the basket, and then being able to be a decision maker. And he's
untouchable now.
He is completely untouchable. But it's just like, how do so many teams have all these players where I wish they were a Warrior? Yet I don't have many Warriors that I wish they were Warriors. To end the conversation, not to end it, but to end my point on the conversation about the game, I think it's tight through quarters one through three. I think they break away in quarter four, kind of like how it's been going.
I will say Jimmy coming back in game three and Steph going off was...
No, game four. Jimmy
came back. Game four. Steph going off in game three was awesome.
Yes.
Jimmy coming back in game four and kind of carrying Steph, because Steph didn't play well in game four either.
Pods, man.
Pods is so inconsistent, though.
Yeah.
His shot has been on fire in some of these games, and then he's like hitting the side of the backboard in some of the other games.
I mean, you know what we call that? Role player. It's a role player. Like, it's this Buddy Hield.
He would be a fantastic six man.
Yes.
But he has to start for them. But he's still young too. He can grow into a starting role. But Buddy, you got to give props to Buddy for he locked up in game four and made some big plays.
Yeah, I'm actually checking this, and our best lineup, I just filtered all of the lineups in the playoffs, and I think these are totals. Yes, and I filtered plus minus, and the first Warrior lineup that pops up, and it looks like I'm already close to 15 lineups down, is the Steph, Jimmy, Dre, Buddy Pajemski lineup at plus 13. I think it's 27 minutes played. So that's been our best lineup on a plus minus perspective all throughout the entire series so far. Not from a minute perspective, that hasn't been our most played. It might be, I don't know, but from a plus minus, that's our best one.
All right. So you think we're going to win? I think they're going to win too, but as they proved in that Sacramento series, It is not just you know, write their name on the chalkboard there. They're in. They do have to play well. The one thing, I'll give the one caveat, the tired legs, Jimmy's hip and whatever else is hurting him. Draymond barely played yesterday. I don't know if it was injury related or not, or they just decided, you know, he's just going to give him a break. But that would also be a fear of mine, is just that, you know, just something linked, you know, you see Dame Lillard like tear his ACL and you kind of go, you know, what did he do? It's probably a lot of has to do with wear and tear, which the Warriors have a lot of on some of those legs. So we'll see what happens. You know, if we get a fired up Quentin Post, you know, doing jumping jacks on the court after hitting a three, I think that'll be good, because he probably pisses the Rockets off more than anybody else because he's such a nobody. But I do hope that they do, because the less games that they have to play, the better. And that Minnesota team, they, even though they have some older players too, like Mike Conley's making corner threes for him. And Mike Conley is from, I think he might be from the Steph draft or from the year before draft.
He wasn't the Steph draft.
He might be from the KD draft.
Yeah, very potentially.
Yeah, the KD draft, because he was the teammate of Greg Oden, and I think they both came out the same year. So that he's an old dude, but they also have the Warriors killer in Naz Reid. So he just destroys the Warriors. So that they're going to need all hands on deck for that game or for that series. And so getting this thing done sooner than later is going to be better for them.
Yeah. Okay. That draft, 2007, KD selected second, Al Horford third, Mike Conley fourth, Jeff Green fifth.
There you go.
And also Jeff really Green. He got some run last night. But wow. As just checking on the lineups really quick, taking away the Kevin Knox, Braxton Key, Pat Spence, Moses Moody, Trayce Jackson-Davis lineup.
The goon Pat Spence, you mean?
Yeah. If you take that lineup away, Steph, Draymond, Buddy, and Pajemski, that four-man combo accounts for three of our best lineups. The best one is that four plus Jimmy. The second best one, if you take away the Kevin Knox one, is that four plus GP2. And the third best one is that four
all time
plus Quentin Post. So Buddy Hield, man. I mean, that, he frustrates the hell out of me, but he is involved in, and a lot of that's probably, you know, maybe I have totals and I'm not at a per game basis. So that could be like, you know, that one, maybe game four or something is some outlier, game three, some outlier, but yeah.
All right, let's quickly talk some Valks. Valks Valley. All right, camp opened on Sunday. So they've been in camp for a few days now. And I have a few notes from Marissa in Jemmy. Is that how you pronounce her name, from the Chronicle?
Mm-hmm.
She's like literally the only person that I can see that is consistently writing about the team. So I'm shout out to her, and I'm following all of her stuff from the Chronicle. But before we even get to kind of the notes of the camp so far, I feel like if this was a Warriors player and the Warriors drafted somebody internationally and that player was not in camp, I just feel like that would be the first and the second and the third piece written about that team in camp. But Yustay is not there, and I don't know if she's. That means that she's going to be there after the Euro Basket season is over. Is it called Euro? Is it called
Euro Basket?
Or if she's just not coming at all? Like, I haven't even seen any questions. Like, have you seen anybody ask Ohima or Natalie about that at all?
Not really, and I'm starting to understand that. You know, this is my first season really covering start to like just like being in the mix at draft and training camp. Like when the Valkyries were not a team, I would, you know, be a fan of the WNBA, but I'm not checking training camp to make sure a certain player comes to the camp or makes a roster or something. I'm just watching the games and stuff and being aware of who's on who's getting traded. But this is where I'm actually like, I feel like I'm really in the mix here. And I was looking at like the Valkyries Reddit page, which I've jumped on as of like the last week or so, just like kind of reading up on it. And no one's really surprised at all that Yustay is going to is not at camp. And the people that are surprised, myself included, seem that they're coming from the NBA. Like, because when's the last time a first rounder from the NBA didn't come over immediately? Like, was it Dario Saric for the 76ers? A first round pick? He was like pick 16 or something in that Joel Embiid draft. And I don't think he came over immediately. And I don't even remember the exact reason. But they just don't sound surprised. It sounds like Dominique Malonga hasn't reported to camp yet.
Ooh.
Right?
Think about that.
I think Sivka from Chicago, I don't know if she's reported yet. I wouldn't be surprised if she hasn't. It just seems like this might be normal. And I think that's wild. And I think with this Valkyries team that has, you know, they're trying to identify a culture and set a precedent. But, you know, by all means, they're going to be the first pick in this draft. And I think anyone with, you know, semi basketball knowledge can put together that this team with no experience play together, a team that doesn't have a star, and maybe there is a star that comes out of this, but they're probably going to be a pretty bad team. So you would think that you would want your draft prospect in your system facility with your developmental people specifically working with her. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I would think it would be the best case here. I think word on the street, what we've both heard is that she will not be coming this year. It sounds like it's out there that she could come after Eurobasket. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like it has to be a mutual decision between her and the Valkyries. And we'll see. I don't think it's likely, though, just looking at across the board of everyone else. And the thing is that, you know, I think a lot of these fans are going to be coming from the NBA, are going to be the Warriors fans coming and supporting their,
yeah, that's,
their
how you, that's how you grow. That's how you grow the league.
Yeah,
you bring in new fans.
I'm not saying that Ohema has to be, you know, worried about this, but I'm sure this is something on Joe Lacob's mind of like, okay, well, here's this first pick we just drafted international. She's not coming. You know, when next year comes around, maybe I steer Ohema away from drafting an international prospect because, you know, I want to be able to market this player right up from the get. But the problem is that the number one prospect next year, in my opinion, is Awa Pham, a Spanish player. And I want the Valkyries to draft her, but I also want her to come over day one. So, you know, it's just something that we'll have to see how it plays out, but it's looking unlikely.
Yeah, because they officially can't even like create Ustay jerseys or...
I know, I'm waiting. I want to buy one.
So. And you're gonna have to figure out who's your plan B? Is it if they put a seller's jersey?
It's already available. If it's announced that the Ustay jersey is like not gonna come out this year, then yeah, I'll buy the Cheyenne jersey right away. I'll end up buying two anyway, like a home and an away colorway, because I think they only have the black base jersey for sale. I don't think the white base.
And okay, so let's say you buy a Cheyenne jersey, and then the other color, are you going?
I'd be going if you stays. Once you stay, that's the first one I want.
Okay, but what if she's not available though?
Then I'm bummed.
Who do you go? Do you go Tiffany Hayes? Do you go Fag Bentley? Do you go Kate Martin?
I might go Carla. I just think that some of these young players are going to be here for the long run. Like I hopefully. Right. So I think that, you know, if I go Veronica Burton, there's a good chance she's not on the team next year.
All right. So you basically expect Carla to kind of push Van Loo out by the end of the season, like she's running point.
I think if you're a Valkyries fan and you're not too familiar with the roster, I would say this is what you should be on the lookout for this season. You should be on the lookout for young players and how they play and if they could take the starting job. And those young players are Cheyenne Sellers, Carla Leite Carla was drafted, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that last name correctly. It doesn't look like she speaks English, by the way, like at all. Or she's just choosing not to, but all the other French player is speaking English and she's not. Carla was drafted last year in the first round by the Dallas Wings. She sat out just like Ustay's doing. She did not come in her first year. And now she got drafted by the Valkyries in the expansion draft, and now she's coming. So I would keep an eye on Carla, her development, because I think she has the chance to be really good, and that would be awesome if she was really good for this team. I would keep an eye on Cheyenne. I would keep an eye to see if Caitlin Chen made the roster. I think if Yuste came, I don't think Caitlin would have made the roster. But now that Yuste is not coming, I believe that Caitlin has a good chance. I would keep an eye on a player named Janelle Salon, Tijon Salon from Charlotte Hornets' older sister. She's only like 22 or 23. She looks like, from what I've seen from games in France, that she is like a just like that 3-and-D player that you want on a championship roster. So I'd almost be like, I mean, I want to keep her, but like she should, if I'm the Liberty, if I'm the Aces, I'm calling right away. First round pick for Janelle straight up. And so I would keep an eye on Janelle, how she plays. I'd keep an eye on the other French player, Ileana Rupert, to see if she comes over after Eurobasket. But it's just, if you could see the consistency with my, with what I'm looking for, it's the youth. It's these younger players, because I think they could be for the here for the future. Like Tiffany is awesome, but you know, she like, it, didn't she like not play for a while before the Aces? Like, well, I mean,
she was going to retire.
Yeah. I almost want to look at her WNBA basketball reference page, because like, I thought that she almost like took a break because she was she was Monique Billings' teammate on the Atlanta Dream, but like, I thought she like took a break and then went to Vegas. Anyway, she's like, I want to say she's like 31 or 32. She's 35. So like, although Tiffany is she's our highest paid player. She's like, she just won Sixth Woman of the Year. Like she's our best player, but I don't imagine she's going to be here for the long run. You know, she's definitely getting overpaid respectfully but we needed to pay someone and we pulled her from the Aces and we just overpaid the hell out of her. But she's going to be our best player. I would like to see Kate, to see if Kate takes that leap. You know, she went to Unrivaled and, you know, had some on-ball creation chops. And I'd like to see if that, you know, kind of manifests into something more in the W. Like that would, I think it would be sick if, I mean, this is just putting all our young players into one starting lineup. But imagine if it's like Carla at the one, Yuste at the two, Cheyenne at the three, Janelle at the four, Ileana at the five. Like there is interesting, intriguing young pieces to keep an eye on here. But just like the Warriors, if this was 2021, I would have been like, guys, like imagine Moody at the two, Kuminga at the three, Wiseman at the five. Like we have the future right in front of us. And Nico at the one, Nico Mannion at the one. Like it's just, you know, a lot of the times these players don't pan out. But I would just keep an eye on, yeah, just the younger players and who can stick from the group that, you know, is, if I'm looking here at our guy Richard Cohen's cap sheet, there's a lot of players like Veronica Burton's on a training camp contract. She's not even on just like a regular standard contract. She's on a training camp deal. So we got to get this 18 number down to 12, and the players on non-training camp deals include Tiffany Hayes, who we believe is going to make this roster. Stephanie Talbot is on a protected veteran contract. Kayla Thornton, at same thing. Monique Billings, same thing. Cecilia Zandalasini is on an unprotected, but it's not a training camp deal. So, you know, there's high likelihood she makes the team. Temi Fagbenle, same thing. Not on a training camp contract. Letitia Ami here. She was, I think she's on her second or third year from South Carolina, but she was in Atlanta. And then I don't even know how she got to the Valkyries. Maybe they cut her and the Valkyries claimed her. But you know, Veronica Burton's on a training camp deal and they need to get to 12. And my prediction would be that Veronica makes the team, that Janelle Salon makes the team. So hold on, this is bad podcasting, but let me just do the number really quick. So Tiffany 1, Stephanie 2, Kayla 3, Monique 4, Cecilia 5, Temi 6. And then Carla, 7. I think Cheyenne makes the team. That's 8. Kate, of course, makes the team. That's 9. And then I think Janelle Salon makes the team. That's 10. So we have two more spots. I'd go Julie Van Loo for 11. And shoot, did I include Veronica in that mix yet?
I don't think so. Then
it would be, between my opinion, Veronica Burton and Chloe Bibby. And Chloe Bibby just won the MVP in her Spanish league. I think she was in the Spanish league. So I think that would be my pick. It comes down to either Julie Van Loo and Chloe Bibby or Veronica Burton and Chloe Bibby. I don't even think I included Caitlin Chen.
They have They have until the 16th to cut down. And let me give you Marissa's starting lineup. She said this is the safest starting lineup the Valkyries can start with.
Can I guess before you do it?
Yeah.
I'm guessing Tiffany at the one, Kayla at the three, Temmie at the five. Is it Cecilia or Kate at the two? And then Monique at the four.
So you got everything correct except for your guards. She has Tip. She has Hayes at the two and Julie
at the one. Kate and Xander Lucini off the bench.
So, we'll be closer as we get closer. A couple weeks, we'll know a little bit more about the cuts because they don't really have to do anything until then.
Preseason game is on the 6th. That's next Tuesday.
Okay, so there we go. That is so quick, and I still have no idea if any of this is going to be on television. Like,
I think they confirmed all preseason games are going to be on television.
They are.
And if you have the WNBA app, they're doing the entire preseason for free. You don't need to have League Pass, but I have League Pass.
What is League Pass? Like $30?
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. Cause I guess all the Caitlin games are going to be televised, like a national broadcast. Like, I think every single Caitlin game is going to be somehow on television.
Would not surprise me. So I think that's the call. Yeah.
All right, let's quickly talk about the rest of the NBA playoffs, and then we'll get out of here.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
All right. I think we're not wrong on some of these series, but I think we were a little bit more confident in the baby Pistons than we should have been, because the Knicks still lead that series with the Pistons trying to...
Are they playing right now?
I believe so. I believe they are right now.
Find that.
And then we also were a little bit more confident in these Clippers.
What the hell, man?
And those rugged Denver Nuggets pull out. And I guess they play tonight for game six is tonight. But OKC, they were kind of in jeopardy in one game, and they came back from like down 30 or something.
I mean, it took Lou Dort sending Ja Morant to the hospital.
I know. That was so unfortunate. Because that's another hard one where if you're a Grizzlies fan, you're like, gosh, you cannot be that dangerous. But then if you're Lou Dort or if you're a OKC fan, you're like, the guy slipped. Like, he didn't mean it, you know? So it's like one of those things.
Lou Dort also happens to find his way into so many, like, oh, look, he didn't mean it. Kind of like, I was going to say like us and Draymond. Draymond's just so good at being like, we could either say it was intentional or unintentional.
Draymond put his feet on Easton's head, man.
He 100% did that. Yeah, he 100% did that. And then I guess Easton was talking to him and that little talk that they had. And then Amen tried to get in it and Draymond was pushing him away. I guess Dre was telling him, like, he wasn't saying sorry, but he was like, if I wanted to kick your head, like, I would have actually kicked your head, like, kind of saying, like, I didn't do that on purpose.
No, he would not have kicked his head, because then he would have got arrested
for fighting somebody. We all, as Warriors fans, we all know that Draymond's, you know, limbs tend to find its place onto, you know, positions of like Easton's head, like that.
That was the Zach Lowe take. Somehow Draymond's limbs just
I haven't even listened yet.
So Timberwolves beat the Lakers 4-1. And then obviously the Warriors are up 3-2. And then on the other side, easy series for the Cavs, and talk about no showing game four. The Heat, like, might as well have just not showed up to the arena that day. The Bucks got smoked, and Halliburton's dad tried to fight Giannis at the end of that.
Did you see that? He's not coming to games anymore.
Yeah, they said he can't go to any of the home or road games.
That's crazy.
Home.
Tyrese Halliburton, I imagine, has some sway in that position of being the Pacers guy, and could have, you know, I would have, and who knows what happens behind these closed door conversations, but I imagine he would have been like, all right, dad, like, you can come, but no booze. Like, you can't drink. And yeah, maybe the dad was like, screw that, I'll just watch at home and drink.
I think Ja's dad is like, see, I'm not the only one.
Yeah, dude, there's a lot of dads who are very animated on sidelines. Ja's and Tyrese's being the figureheads.
And then Orlando did sneak one from Boston, but Boston, you know, impressive. They're going to be impressive, but I still feel like they kind of sleptwalk through the series against the Magic a little bit. Okay, so we only have one actual series that is ready to go, and that is Sunday, Cavs and Pacers. So we won't really talk about any of this other stuff because we still have games left to get to these series. So let's just talk Cavs Pacers. And I just have one question, which is, do the Pacers have a chance in your mind to win?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think they have a chance. I think Simmons is high on the Pacers. I don't know if he picked them to win, but I remember hearing a pod where
I think he's going to be disappointed because the Cavs are so good. They're going to get the Pacers to fall into like these really bad things where you go, oh, that's who they were. Just Milwaukee couldn't do it. They didn't have any. This is like Giannis and the boys against Dame wasn't healthy at all. Then he tears what a terrible injury season for Dame. I feel really bad for that guy. But yeah, the Bucks had nothing. They couldn't put up a fight at all. So the Pacers, they beat them soundly, which they should have. That's what you do in the playoffs. I still think the Cavs are gonna, you know, probably beat them in six. From the perspective of who's more ice cold than Donovan Mitchell? That's what it comes down to me. Like, that dude is just ice cold, cold-blooded. He just wants to hurt everyone's feelings. I think the Pacers are going to make these games very entertaining, though.
Yeah, I think so, too. I would pick the Cavs for sure. But, I mean, yeah, if Miami can be in, like, two games against Cleveland, I imagine that Indiana could get one or two. So, yeah, I think Cleveland's going to win, but maybe one or two go Indiana's way.
All right, last segment here. I saw Sinners, which was really good.
Nice.
I don't like the gore, so the last act was not my favorite as far as like just all of what I had to see to get all of the story and all of what it all meant. But I really did. I thought it was awesome. It was one of those, like, there's a reason why movie theaters exist. And that was one of them.
Yeah. That was definitely one of the films. It's like, you know, makes me like a proponent for like, you need to go to the theaters and watch this stuff instead of watching at home.
What else did you see last week? You said you had mentioned you were going to see something.
I think I was finishing up some of those tickets I had bought a couple months back for the San Francisco
Festival.
And I actually got a sweatshirt. I like it. But let me just, it'll take me one second if I go to the. Yeah, just a lot of SF film stuff.
Okay.
Trying to keep up with the Ringers 25 thing.
Mm-hmm.
With the Big Pictures 25 thing. So I'm on, like, I've seen 25 and 24. Now I want to see 23. I think it's like a rom-com with I forget, but
oh, it's the something's got to give, or
yeah.
Jack Nicholson and Diane Keaton, a bunch of old folks in that movie.
Yeah, that's the next one that I have to make some time for.
I saw 2014's Whiplash. Have you ever seen Whiplash?
I have not, but it's on my list. I have like a watch list that I made like 2 years ago, and slowly stuff is starting to.
Yeah, I saw that.
And, I'm watching. You know what I'm watching right now?
Huh?
Goodfellas. Might be the greatest movie I've ever seen.
Crystal and I saw that last year because I had never seen it before.
I'm like 30 minutes in, and I'm like, this is the greatest like narrating I've ever really like good. Been so entertained. This
yeah, I mean, it's famous for a reason. Like, you'll see that, you'll watch the movie and you'll go, oh, that's where that gif comes from.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like it's like with The Godfather, me seeing it as late as I did, like I love, you know, stuff for like the story, and but I'm just such a sucker for like, oh, like the cameras look so good these days, you know, the effects and stuff we have, modern technology just like makes me like I just like it, sometimes like that more than some of this really old stuff. And I feel like Goodfellas, whereas it's not like an identical story, but like the Italian mob stuff, like it feels like, you know, Goodfellas is kind of a little bit of an updated Godfather, and just the, you know, the cameras they have and the storytelling, and just more modern to the movies that I watch today versus a 70s movie.
Yeah, for sure. And then you're gonna see the Marvel movie this weekend. I'm gonna wait to see if that is good enough to go check out. But there's a lot, so there's a lot of stuff coming out soon. Like the
yes.
Impossible's coming out. We saw the trailers to the F1 movie. That's further
that's June.
Down the line.
Yeah.
But did you see the trailer to Smashing Machine with the Rock?
I'm quite excited.
Do you know that story?
No.
Okay. It's based off of a documentary.
A UFC guy, right?
He was a UFC guy. He also fought for Pride, but he's a collegiate wrestler. And the story is about it. The story is really about addiction and yeah. relationships and fame and all of that. But the documentary came out like 20 years ago. I want to rewatch the documentary and then go back and watch when that movie comes out. The movie doesn't come out till the fall. So
just based on the trailer, I feel like I could already see Emily Blunt like getting a nomination for Best Actress. Like I hope Dwayne's awesome. Like I hope he gets a nomination as well.
He's playing it a little bit like a simpleton, like just like a not very smart guy. And I need to go back and watch The Real Mark Kerr, because I don't think he was like that necessarily until maybe he got beat up a little bit. And then his faculties weren't as fantastic. So I have to go back and watch, but it'll be something that I definitely watch on like first day.
Yeah. I thought what was interesting too is like, okay, so this is a Safdie film, you know, the guys who did Uncut Gems and the Robert Pattinson, like Good Time or something like that. And then they cast Dwayne, and then it's filmed. It's like done filming. And then I get like a report, and I think this was true, that Scorsese casted The Rock in a future film. It's got to make me think like he probably saw it and thought he was good, right? Like,
I don't know. It's a Leo. So the Leo, the Scorsese movie stars Leo and Dwayne. Is Emily Blunt in that one too?
I think she is.
So originally, that was going to go to Netflix. And then I guess it didn't go to Netflix, which would have meant that it would have not gone to theaters. So I'm glad it didn't go to Netflix. It didn't go to Netflix. But I think The Rock plays like a Hawaiian mob boss or something.
Oh,
like
God.
Something like that. But because it's Scorsese, you know, it'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just saying like
big movie star movie.
Like, I feel like there's a lot of hesitancy of like, oh, can The Rock, you know, do a role like this? Right. Like, can he do like a role that's not, you know, kind of more blockbustery and kid friendly? Like, can he do something like this? And I think just to see him already getting casted in what could be the next role where it's not a typical role for him maybe bodes well in his favor that this is good.
You know, his Mark Kerr, how he looks like when he transformed into Mark Kerr, is like the middle part of David Banner becoming the Incredible Hulk. It's like if you stop it in the middle, that's what The Rock looks like at Mark.
So you're saying Mark Kerr is bigger?
No, and just the way that like his build and his features.
Okay, not literally.
Face.
Yeah.
But Mark Kerr was a big dude too, like really big guy and like just a crazy steroid guy as well. So,
really quick, just last question. Do you know a lot about the Mark Kerr? Just because? Okay.
Yeah, I know that story because I've watched Smashing Machine before, and I follow. You know, it's his career was bigger in Pride than it was in UFC, but it's also in the early days of MMA before MMA became like what the UFC is today.
Nice.
All righty. That is it from here. We'll be back next week. We'll figure out the correct day based on what happens with the Warriors and the schedule. Or if they're done, then we'll just come back on Thursday. If they lose these next two games, we'll come back on Thursday, and then this turns into like the Valkyries Sad podcast.
Yeah.
So I don't want them to lose. I want them to win, and so we have to so that we are continuing to figure out our schedule. All right, for Bri, I'm Double G. See you when we see you. Peace out.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.